कुंडलावकुंडनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्. विल् हाव् ए क्यू इन्ट्रोडक्षन् टु ललितासहस्रनाम before entering into each of the namas. So Lalita Sahasranama is one of the famous Sahasranamas available, the other one being Vishnu Sahasranama. So it's generally opined by scholars and saints that Vishnu Sahasranama guarantees a person worldly benefits or wealth and fame, money, power, etc. Whereas Lalita Sahasranama is a bit more intrinsic. So it leads a person, it helps a person spiritually rather than at the world level. But Amma herself has said that a person who reads Lalita Sahasranama daily, he will have no shortage of food, clothing, accommodation, etc. The basic needs that a person needs will be fulfilled if a person chants Lalita Sahasranama. So though there are like diverse opinions regarding Lalita Sahasranama and Vishnu Sahasranama, that one is greater, the other is not greater and all, both point to the same reality. So it's a matter of one's own experience as well as what a person is more comfortable with. But in general, it is the opinion that Vishnu Sahasranama gives a bit of wealth and other things. So Yudhishthira was the person to whom the Bhishma instructed the Vishnu Sahasranama. When Bhishma was lying on his deathbed, he was lying in his deathbed about to die and the Kurukshetra war was over. At that time Yudhishthira goes and asks a few questions to Bhishma, like Ko dharma sarva dharmanam bhavata paramo matha kim japan uchyate jantur janma samsara bandhanat kim ekam devatam loke kim vapyekam parayanam stuvanta kim kamarchanta prapnuyur manava shubham. So 5-6 questions he asked to Bhishma while Bhishma is on his deathbed. So Bhishma says that Vishnu or Nama Sahasram me Srinu Papa Bhayapaham. So Vishnu or Nama Sahasram me Srinu Papa Bhayapaham. So listen to Vishnu Sahasranama, the 1000 names of Vishnu, which will help you in getting rid of bhayam or fear. That's how it starts. And Bhishma instructs Vishnu Sahasranama. So if we analyze the instruction is being given to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira was more of a dharmic person than a sadhaka seeking knowledge, but he was more towards dharma, then we can understand that Vishnu Sahasranama will help a person in dharma, in leading a proper life. Whereas Lalita Sahasranama is more towards Vedanta. Though Vishnu Sahasranama can also be equated or shown to stand for Vedanta or establishing Vedantic truth in itself, yet that's a slight difference, subtle difference. So we don't need to analyze a more or try to compare and contrast between both the Sahasranama. Both are good. It depends on which Mahatma, which Guru a person is following and what the Guru instructs him to chant, whether it is Vishnu Sahasranama or Lalita Sahasranama. And the very fact that Shankara has written a Bhashyam on the Vishnu Sahasranama says that, okay, it also stands for Vedantam itself. But many of the Vaishnavites claim that Shankara wrote only a Bhashyam on Vishnu Sahasranamam and not on Lalita Sahasranamam. So they also extend it further by telling that Shankara was about to write a commentary on Lalita Sahasranama and he heard a voice which said that don't write on Lalita Sahasranama, write on Vishnu Sahasranama, therefore Vishnu Sahasranama is greater. So that's just like futile talk, and it's a kind of useless talk or useless theory, because Shankara has written a bhashyam on the Lalita Trishati, which is quite popular. And if we read the bhashyam of Lalita Sahasranama, one of the bhashyams of Lalita Sahasranama, it will be clear that it stands for Advaitam. So we can twist the logic and say that since Vishnu Sahasranamam has other philosophies embedded in it, since in Vishnu Sahasranama we can find Dvaitam more, therefore Shankara commented on it so that people don't get distracted. Whereas Lalita Sahasranama purely stands for Advaitam, therefore Shankara didn't find the need for writing a commentary on it. There was no confusion with respect to Lalita Sahasranama, but there was confusion with respect to Vishnu Sahasranama. So we can also use such twisted logic, but all those logic are useless. It will end a person who follows all this logic and tries to compare and contrast both Sahasranama, he will end up nowhere. But any Sahasranama will have more power, more effect if it is chanted with as a Namavali rather than the Stotram. So many of the people are common or like so used to chanting Vishnu Sahasranama as well as Lalita Sahasranama as Stotram. So Vishwam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhutabhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Similarly, Sri Mahata, Sri Maharajni, Sri Matsimhasineshwari. So that is Stotram, chanting of Stotram, not Namavali. Namavali is when a person chants Om Sri Matre Namaha. So similarly, Om Vish. I don't know about Vishnu Sahasranama whether Namavali is available or people chant it. So that may be one reason why it is advisable to chant Lalita Sahasranama, because Namavali, Lalita Sahasranama as Namavali has been propagated by Amma, therefore it's quite common. Whereas we cannot find Vishnu Sahasranama being chanted as Namavali. Irrespective of the comparisons of both, they both stand for the same reality. But Amma recommends chanting of Lalita Sahasranama rather than Vishnu Sahasranama. She doesn't speak about Vishnu Sahasranama at all. She speaks about Lalita Sahasranama, maybe because Amma's ashram believes in Devi or Parashakti more towards Tantra or Shakta system, though it is the same as Vedantam or Advaita Vedantam. So Lalita Sahasranama is Stotra, which has thousand names of Devi. It can be chanted as a Stotra as well as Namavali also. So the Aitihyam behind it is that Hayagriva, one of the avatars of Vishnu, Hayagriva instructed this to Agastya. So the very way in which it was, like Hayagriva says as to how this came about, is that there was a conference, like the conferences that we have today in the world. There was a conference wherein different devatas from different lokas came. So various devatas were assembled together in a place to contemplate about Devi, contemplate about Parabrahman, about the way, about how future is to be, how the future will be, and how they can do welfare to the entire world. So it is also said that in the conference, like, there were many Vishnus, many Brahmas, many Shivas. So we may think that there is only one Vishnu, there is only one Vaikuntham, but there are many Vaikuntham. Even as science believes that we are not the only people in the entire universe, there are many other solar systems, or there are many other planets where life is there. Though we haven't come across such planets or such places where life is there, yet we cannot rule out, as per science, we cannot rule out that life is there only in Earth or only in this solar system, because there are many other solar systems which we aren't aware of. So that is the very question about aliens or beings from other planets, other places. So science also doesn't rule out. Similarly, we cannot rule out Vaikuntha, that one, there is only one Vaikuntha, there is only one Kailasa. There are n number of Vaikunthas, n number of Kailasas from different places, from different eras, different times, different yugas. So all these Shivas, all these Vishnus, all these Brahmas, all these Indras, they got together and they decided that they have to pray Devi. And they started praying Devi, and that became, they came out with the various names of Devi, which is quite popular as Lalita Sahasranama. So Hayagriva is the person who is instructing the Lalita Sahasranama to Agastya, even as Bhishma is the person instructing Vishnu Sahasranama to Yudhishthira. So Lalita Sahasranama consists of like 1000 names of Devi. So even as Vishnu Sahasranama might seem to be leaning towards the Vaishnava schools because it speaks about Vishnu, similarly, Lalita Sahasranama might also seem to be leaning towards the Shakta or the Tantra system. So the Shakta system is that school wherein Devi is considered the ultimate being. It's the same as the Tantra school, except that Shakta and Tantra are both same, but Shakta is, we can say, theoretical aspect of it, Tantra is the practical aspect of it. So this is a system wherein Devi is considered the ultimate being. So Devi is equated with Nirguna Parabrahman. So we cannot claim that that system which believes in Devi is not the same as Advaitam, the same as Vedanta, because it doesn't speak about Nirguna Brahman. That is not the case, because Devi is Nirgunai Namaha, Guna Vivarjitai Namaha. These are a couple of names in the Lalita Sahasranama where Devi is equated with Nirgunai Namaha. And it's not just Nirgunam, then what? Okay, Nirgunam, without Gunam, but then can Gunam be there? Is there a chance of Guna being there in Devi? Guna Vivarjitaye Namaha, she is bereft of Gunas. Even if we can assume that Gunas are there and Devi is without Gunas, so if Devi is without Gunas, is Gunas there? Okay, Gunas are there empirically. If Gunas are empirically there, then will they not affect Devi? No. Why? Guna vivarjitaye nama. How is it that Devi cannot be afflicted by the gunas? Mithya jagat adhishthanaye namaha. Because the Devi is the adhishthanam, the substratum of the illusory world. Mithya jagat adhishthana. Devi is the adhishthanam for the mithya jagat. So gunas are part of the jagat. Gunas are that which cause jagat. Devi hi esha gunamai mama maya durattiya. So maya or guna, gunas are part of maya, gunas are the basis of maya, gunas are the very nature of maya. Maya is tugunatmika. So maya is composed of the three gunas, and the world is created out of maya, and that illusory world, for that illusory world, Devi is the adhishthanam. Therefore, Devi cannot be afflicted by gunas. So Devi, the Devi here is not a mere goddess with form or name, but Devi is the Nirguna Parabrahman that is propounded in the scriptures, in the Upanishads. So it is the same. But in general, any system which believes in a particular god or goddess, whether it is formless god, even if it is formless god, yet that needs to have a particular kind of form as well as a namam, a rupam. So there are three things that is associated with a particular system. A system that is attached or more towards a particular name and form. So though Devi, the Parashakti or the ultimate goddess, is the same as Nirguna Parabrahman, yet for even as Vedanta or Upanishads or the scriptures proclaim various devatas, various forms for a person's contemplation or concentration, similarly Devi, the Shakta system also has to propound about Devi, say that Devi is composed of so and so form. So since the Shakta system has Devi, that we should remember that the Devi that the Shakta system propounds stands for Nirguna Parabrahman. So the particular form Devi, Devi is by nature formless, but a form is attributed to Devi's, but the form stands for Nirguna Parabrahman. The reality is Nirguna Parabrahman, yet a form is given or attributed to it for ignorant people. So it is clear from the various namas that we discussed now that Devi is formless. By nature Devi is formless, yet we can attribute form to Devi. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasa avyakta hiyat dukkam dehavadbir avapyate. When Arjuna asks Krishna in the 12th chapter, after seeing the Vishwarupa Darshanam, Arjuna gets a doubt. What I have learned from the Shastras is that Brahman is Nirgunam. If Brahman is Nirgunam, then what is the form that you gave me? The Vishwarupam, the Rupam that is Vyaptam, is pervades the entire world. So is form God great or formless God great? So Arjuna gets a doubt. So he asks Krishna, Ayevam satada yukta ye bhaktas tvam pariyupasate echapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. O Arjuna, among like bhaktas, among your devotees, are nirguna bhaktas greater or saguna bhaktas greater? Are arupa bhaktas greater or sarupa bhaktas greater? So Krishna says that whoever follows the nirguna, whoever follows both sagunam and nirgunam, they will attain Brahman. But it is tougher. Klesho adhikataraha. Adhikataraha kleshaha. For people who are embodied, who have the thought that they are the body, who have the feeling that they are the body. The term that we use generally is, the seekers use the term body consciousness, though it's a wrong word, yet that is what is generally used, body consciousness. People who feel that they are the body, such people, people who feel that they are the body, for such people, contemplating on the formless is tough. Therefore, a form is attributed. Therefore, saguna bhaktas are more, saguna bhakti is easier. Because once you gain saguna bhakti, once you are able to contemplate on a particular form, then you can increase or like expand the form to the entire world. So contemplate on the form of Devi, slowly expand the form. So whatever you see, consider it as the form of Devi, convert or transform it into the form of Devi, and thereby the entire world becomes Devi. Slowly you will find your mind expanding, and this expansion will finally end up in formless, because that which is all pervasive cannot have a form. Therefore you will end up with formless. So that is the way of worshipping a form God and worshipping the formless God. So through worship of form God, you will ultimately end up in the formless God. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate tesham aham samuddarta mrityu sansara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha mayaveshita chetasam. After seeing that nirguna bhakti is tough, therefore saguna bhaktas are more, Krishna says, Krishna thinks that okay, nirguna bhakti is the, nirguna brahman is the ultimate, that means saguna brahman is unreal. If that is the case, then what about, Arjuna has a doubt, what about people who follow saguna bhakta, saguna ishvara, what about saguna bhaktas, will they realize? So Krishna says, whoever worships me in a particular form, let it be any form, even if it is a particular form, yet whoever worships me in the right way, yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha, who offer all actions unto me, matparaha, who are always focused on my form, a particular form, and they have ananya bhajanam, they do dhyanam, for them I help them in crossing over the ocean of samsara. That means I will slowly take them to nirguna bhakti, as explained, like whatever is the way. So that is what is the way of Saguna, Saguna. So the ego, the ultimate God or ultimate reality is formless, yet we can attribute a particular form to it. And if we are worshipping that form everywhere, seeing it everywhere, then we will end up in Nirguna Bhakti. We'll end up in Nirguna Ishvara or Moksha. So Lalita Sahasranama or like Devi Shakta system in general propounds a particular form. So Lalita Sahasranama, the form that Lalita Sahasranama depends on, or Lalita Sahasranama depends on the form that is the basis of Shakta system, which is called Tripura Sundari. So it's called Lalita Ambika or Parashakti and all, yet it is a form called Tripura Sundari. So this has a different meaning, but before entering into it, any system which any system which bases itself on a particular form, on a Saguna Ishvara standing for Parabrahman, Nirguna Parabrahman, that needs to have three things. So one is Yantram, the second is Mantram, and the third is Tantram. So Yantram is the particular particular object or particular sacred or Vaidika object through which the Devi is propitiated, through which the particular God is propitiated. So we need to have a Yantram. Yantram means like the particular object. Like we can, in very simple terms, we can say it is a Homakunda in a simple way. But Yantras are like, we call it Tagad, or like metal pieces wearing particular forms, particular images or graphical images are drawn. So there are different Yantrams. So like we can consider it as Kolam, or what traditional Brahmins draw in front of their house, a particular, like with white chalk, they draw a particular form that denotes auspiciousness, but that can be considered a Yantram, an object in which Devi resides, or an object in which we consider Devi as residing, Devi or any god. And the second is Mantram. So we need a Mantram. So Yantram is just the object where Devi is seated. We need a Mantram to invoke Devi. So that is called Mantram. That is a particular syllable which is to be chanted while concentrating that Devi is in the particular Yantram. And just Mantram and Yantram are not enough. We need a particular way. We cannot just go on chanting mantra, or go on assuming a yantra is there and just chant mantra. It needs to be in a particular way. Even as any homam, any yagam, any yajnam has a particular way of doing it, similarly for this bhajanam also there is a way. And that way, that is called tantram. Tantra is the way of propitiating Devi. So for a Devi Upasaka, he needs to know what is the Yantram, what is the place where Devi is supposed to sit, or like the place where the devotee assumes Devi to be seated, the mantra with which to propitiate, and the way, the tantra in which to do it. So all in all, this three, Yantram, Mantram and Tantram. So Sarva Yantratmikai Namaha, Sarva Tantra Rupai Namaha, Sarva Mantra Swarupinye Namaha. All those point out that Devi, though Shakta system has or Devi Upasakas have a particular Yantram, particular Tantram and particular Mantram, yet all Mantras, all Yantras, all Tantras stand for Devi. That means the Devi propounded in Lalita Sahasranama is essentially Brahman. Only Nirguna Parabrahman can have all mantram for him, all mantram pointing to him. He can be residing in all yantram. He can be propitiated through the all yantram because he is the essence behind all gods. So that means the Parashakti who is propounded or propitiated in the Lalita Sahasranama, in the various namas of Lalita Sahasranama, is essentially Nirguna Parabrahman. But Devi Upasakas need to have Yantram, Mantram and Tantram. So all these together, like when a person follows, he can be called a Devi Upasaka. And the Upasana of Devi has a, another name associated to it. It's called Sri Vidya Upasakas. Because the Vidya or the knowledge, the sacred knowledge with which a person worships Devi, the knowledge behind a Devi Upasaka is called Sri Vidya. So Upasakas of Devi who follow Yantram, who know Yantram, who mantram and tantram need not be external, it can also be internal. So person manasa japam or manasa dhyanam is more better than external dhyanam. External dhyanam or japam. So it can also be internal. For so a person who does Devi Upasana, he is called a Sri Vidya Upasaka or Devi Upasaka. So in brief about Yantram, Mantram and Tantram, the Yantram of Devi is the Sri Chakram. The Sri Chakram, if you just do a Google search or get Amma's, the Lalita Sahasranama book online or from anywhere, you need to have it. If a person claims himself to be a Devi Upasaka, be a follower of Amma, a devotee, a bhakta of Amma, then he needs to know Yantram, Mantram and Tantram compulsorily. He needs to know how to do it mentally. He needs to know how to draw a Sri Chakram. So Sri Chakram is the Yantram. Sri Chakram ennuru chakramundu adil Sri Vidya ennuru Devi undu. So Amma's, there is one of Amma's old songs. Sri Chakram ennuru chakramundu. There is a chakram, there is a particular form. It's a particular like graphical form, we can say, which is called Sri Chakram, and the Devi who is residing in Sri Chakram is called Sri Vidya. Sri Vidya ennoru Devi unde. Chakra swarupiniyaya Devi Loka Chakram tirikkunna shaktiyana. Chakra swarupiniyaya Devi, the Devi who is of the form of the Chakram, of the swarupam of that particular Chakram, Sri Chakram, she, why is it called Sri Chakram? Because she controls the entire world, the Loka Chakram. So she controls the entire world, the Chakram of the entire world. Why is the world called a Chakram? Because it goes on and on and on and on. It goes revolving. It is never stopping. So that's why it's called a Chakram. And so Sri Chakram, this Chakram, the Devi who is of the form of this Chakram, she controls the entire world. She is, in fact, controlling the entire world. So she is the Devi. She, Chakra Swarupini Aya Devi, Devi who is of the form of the particular Chakram, she controls the Loka Chakram Tirikyunna Shaktiyane. She is the power that controls, that turns, that makes the Loka Chakram revolve. So it is the same as what Krishna says that Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Arudani Maya. With the Yantram, with the Chakram of Maya, Ishvara controls the entire world. So Sri Chakram is the Yantram. And the Mantram, what is the Mantram? Mantram is called the Sri Vidya Mantram. It is also called the Panchadashakshari Mantram. The mantra which has 15 syllables with it, it's not inclusive of Om. So the Lalita Trishati, another work about Devi which has been commented on by Shankaracharya, so 300 names are there. So 15 into 20 gives 300. So there are 15, which each of these Panchadashakshari mantras, each akshara, the starting of that akshara, with that akshara namas, 20 namas each, put it in order, then you'll get Lalita Trishati. So the Panchadashakshari mantra is Om Ka Ye Yi La Hrim Ha Sa Ka Ha La Hrim Sa Ka La Hrim. So it is like it totals 15 exclusive of Om. So that is the mantram. So that is the mantram which Devi has to be propitiated. So though like Sri Vidya Upasakas have this Panchadashakshari or Sri Vidya mantram, yet we can also have our own Ishta Devata mantram. So, Ishtadevata mantram can be substituted for this mantra while doing Devi Upasana. And then the tantram, the way to do it. The way to do it like Bhagavati Seva, or when we call a pujari or a vadhyar or a priest to our house to conduct Bhagavati Seva, that is a particular yajna or homa kind of thing. So there all these namas are chanted in the particular way, in the particular format. But the real entram, what we can say is, real tantram is when a person contemplates on Devi, contemplates in his mind, draws a Sri Chakram. The entram of Sri Chakram, chanting his own mantra about Devi, his own Ishta Devata mantram, and imagines Devi seated on a particular throne or a particular chair with all alankaram, with all ornaments, with kiridam, kundalam, etc., etc., and then does manasa puja. Manasa puja, chanting one's own mantra. So that is the real Devi Upasana or Sri Vidya Upasana. And after doing Upasana of Devi, then he chants the thousand names of Devi. So Namavali. So when a person first for 15-20 minutes, he does Manasa Puja, chanting the names, invoking Devi, like first bathing Devi, washing her feet and all those things. And then finally giving her proper robes, ornaments, alankaram, etc. And then seats her in the particular chair in his heart, and then with imagining that there are flowers in, like there is a tree in his heart, and using the flowers in the tree, he does Archana of each of the namas. Om Sri Matri Namaha, Om Sri Maharajni Namaha. In similar way he does that, and at the end he does an Arati after giving Nivedyam and Arati. So when a person does that, then he is a Devi Upasaka mentally. So unless a person does that, unless he has done that, he cannot claim to be a devotee of Devi. He cannot be claimed to be a Devi Upasaka. And unless he is a Devi Upasaka, unless he is a Devi Bhakta, he cannot benefit out of Lalita Sahasranama. Unless he can benefit out of Lalita Sahasranama, the particular japam or archana, he will not benefit out of Vedantic knowledge. Because Vedantic knowledge is only intellectual. A person gains more and more intellectual knowledge, what will happen? Finally, he will end up like Einstein. He'll have to be exiled from his country, and then he'll end up in an asylum. So if intellectual knowledge has to become experience, then all these sadhanas are essential. So if a person has got a mantra, then he has to compulsorily do all this, do the upasana with chanting, Lalita Sahasranama chanting. And we shouldn't hurry as well. It should, or the entire process of like Lalita Sahasranama, if chanted in the proper way, it should take 1.5 hours, which means that along with the dhyanam, archana, puja, etc., it should take at least 2 hours. So unless a person sits for 2 hours and does this sadhana, he cannot claim to be a devotee. And unless he is a devotee, he cannot claim to be a devotee of Amma. If he cannot claim to be a devotee of Amma, then he cannot be benefited out of any of the knowledge that he gains from Amma. So he may learn a few books, he may go for a few retreats and hear about Amma's things. He may even bring tears to his eyes when he sees Amma, or when he sings about Amma, when he chants and all. But that will not give him the real benefit that he is supposed to get. And the real benefit is Anandam. And whether it is Anandam out of the Saguna form or Nirguna form, if it has to stay forever, if it has to be eternal, if it has to be always, if it has to be a part of the person, then he needs to do this. If he doesn't do this, then he cannot claim to be a bhakta. And if he is not a bhakta, then there is no purpose in life at all. So it is better such a person be in the world rather than trying to be spiritual, because he will never be spiritual. So much about the Sri Vidya Upasana. So coming back to Lalita Sahasranama, so these are like 1000 names of Devi. So there have been many commentaries on it. So one of the most common, most used commentary of this Lalita Sahasranama is called Saubhagya Bhaskaram. So it is a commentary written by Bhaskara Raya. So Bhaskara Raya or Bhaskara Roya, R-O-Y-A is the English name, but Bhaskara Raya is the name. So though Bhaskara Raya was a Shakta, a person who followed Devi, particular or Tripura Sundari or Devi, yet in many places we can find him quoting from the Upanishads and standing for Advaitam. So in the Nama of Mithya Jagat Adhishthana, he accepts whatever Vedanta says, or to be more specific, what Advaita Vedanta says. So if you read, like in our site in vedantatva.org, if you go to article section, you should read the Lalita Sahasranama, the article on Lalita Sahasranama, the import of Lalita Sahasranama, in which you will find few quotations of his commentary. And while we learn, we will come to know, but still it will give a bird's view of the fact or the truth that Lalita Sahasranama as well as Bhaskara Raya's commentary stand for Advaita Vedantam. It is the same as Advaita Vedantam. It doesn't contradict Advaita Vedantam, though it stands for a particular form. It stands for a Shakta system or Devi Upasakas. And next, coming to Devi's form. The form of Devi or the Saguna Devi, that is the basis of Shakta system as well as Lalita Sahasranamam. So I'll try to be as brief as possible. So if you get a chance, you should, first thing is you should learn about Sri Chakram. You should try to find out about Sri Chakram. You should be able to draw Sri Chakram. So unless you can draw it externally, you'll not be able to draw in your mind. And unless you can draw the particular yantram, then you cannot claim to be a bhakta. So you should know to draw Sri Chakram. You should know what is the form of Devi. So in Mayapur, like I think Giri Press, I guess, I'm not sure about the name, Giri Traders, if you go there, you can get a picture of Devi or Tripura Sundari. If you ask for Tripura Sundari, picture of Tripura Sundari, you should have it. Like, you should get it, scan it, or whatever way, you should have the form of Tripura Sundari for your quick reference. So Tripura Sundari is the Saguna Ishvara propitiated by Shakta system as well as Lalita Sahasranama. So Devi, if you have seen the form, the picture of Tripura Sundari, then it's easier. So Tripura Sundari sits with one leg, Ardha Padmasanam. She sits on a particular cot, and in the cot, like one of her, he is in Ardha Padmasana, one leg below, like one leg is in like standing, almost like standing, and the other leg, so if I am right, it is the left leg, the left leg, which is in Ardha Padmasana, and the right leg stretched out. So the cot in which she is sitting, that will have like four legs. So the four legs are, one is Brahma, second is Vishnu, third is Shiva, and the fourth is called Ishvara. So when Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva merge together, when Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, all three merge into one, then all the three forms vanish. So that is a state wherein there is no form, but there is a person associated with the no form state. When three forms merge, the first thing should be, like, it's like you are mixing water and salt, or in simple, maybe don't need to confuse that much. You put water into salt or sugar into water, and when you mix, then it initial state is when both merge and there is nothing, and then a form comes. So the state when all three merge, all the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva merge, and the new form, the state where there is no form, that is called Ishvara. That Devata is called Ishvara. Ishvaraya Namaha, Tirodhana Karye Namaha, Ishvaraya Namaha. So Tirodhanam, what does he do? Tirodhanam, he vanishes. Why does he vanish? Because when these three forms meet, then a God is formed, but he vanishes. And after him, so that is the fourth leg is Ishvara, who does Tirodhanam. So Trishtikartre Namaha, Brahma Rupaye Namaha, Brahma does Trishti, Gopriye Namaha, Govinda Rupinye Namaha, Gopriye Namaha, Gopri means like protection. So that is Vishnu. సంహారిణ్యై నమః రుద్రరూపాయ నమః సంహారం రుద్రడస్ సంహారం తిరోదానకర్యై నమః ఈశ్వర్యై నమః ఆర్ ఈశ్వరాయ నమః వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇస్ ద నామం సో ఈశ్వర అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ హ్యాపెన్స్ తిరోదానం ఆఫ్టర్ వ్యానిషింగ్ ఎ న్యూ ఫార్మ్ కమ్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ దట్ ఈస్ సదాశివాయ నమః అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ తిరోదానం వై డస్ సదాశివ కమ్ హీ కమ్స్ టు డూ అనుగ్రహం అనుగ్రహదాయ నమః హీ కమ్స్ టు అనుగ్రహం హీ కమ్స్ టు గివ్ అనుగ్రహం ఆర్ టు గివ్ లైక్ బ్లెస్సింగ్ సో సదాశివ ఈస్ ఆల్సో కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి ద పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దేవి సో శివశక్తి ఐక్య రూపిణి దేవి ఈజ్ కంపోజ్డ్ ఆఫ్ శివ అండ్ శక్తి అండ్ ద శక్తి ఆస్పెక్ట్ ద శివ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఈస్ నాట్ నార్మల్ శివ ఆర్ రుద్ర బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ సదాశివ సో పంచబ్రహ్మాసనస్థాయి నమః పంచబ్రహ్మాసనాయి నమః ఆర్ ఐ ఫర్గాట్ ద నామ సో దేవి ఈస్ సిట్స్ ఆన్ ఆసనం విచ్ ఈస్ కంపోజ్డ్ ఆఫ్ 5 గాడ్స్ సో ద 4 ఆర్ ద 4 లెగ్స్ అండ్ ద పలంకం ఆర్ ద టాప్ ఆఫ్ ద పర్టిక్యులర్ కాట్ ఈస్ సదాశివ అండ్ ఆన్ సదాశివ దేవి సిట్స్ సో దేవి ఈస్ దాట్ శక్తి హూ ఈస్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ సదాశివ సదాశివ స్టాండ్స్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ద 3 గాడ్స్ అలాంగ్ విత్ ఈశ్వర యాజ్ వెల్ సో దట్స్ హౌ దేవి సిట్స్ And then it's also like if you see the Tripura Sundari form, we'll come to that. But Devi has 4 hands. So in the front 4 hands, she has Raga Swarupa Pashadhyayi Namaha. Mano Rupekshi Kodandayi Namaha. Panchatanma Prasayakayi Namaha. So like Krodakara Ankushojvalayi Namaha. So Ankusham, she has an Ankusham which... is supposed to stand for krodham controlling krodham a weapon and then ragam for ragam she has a rope she has a rope in one hand ankusham in one hand and then sugar cane bow which denotes mind and then the 5 tanmatras or that which the 5 essences of the sense organs that like is flower arrows పంచతన్మాత్ర సాయకాయ నమః సో దట్ ఈస్ షీ హ్యాస్ 4 హ్యాండ్స్ హోల్డింగ్ ఈచ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ వెన్ వీ కమ్ టు ద నామాస్ విల్ లర్న్ యాస్ టు వాట్స్ ద సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఈచ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ బట్ ఫర్ నౌ దిస్ ఈస్ ఎనఫ్ అండ్ దెన్ దేవి హ్యాస్ సచ్ అమర రమావాణి సవ్య దక్షిణ సేవితాయ నమః సో రమా అండ్ వాణి సో రమా అండ్ వాణి వాణి సరస్వతి రమా ఇస్ లక్ష్మి సో లక్ష్మి అండ్ సరస్వతి ఆర్ ఆన్ 2 sides of Devi and they have a fan they are fanning Devi who is sitting there so that is the form of Devi and then in the picture you can see also that at the bottom you can see Ganesha and Murga as well so if we add all this so Ganesha Murga 2 and then Sacha Rama and Vani so that are 4 and then the 3 of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva and Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra and Sadashiva all this is 8 so Chatashashti Upachara Dhyayi Namaha so it is supposed that these 8 devatas each of these 8 devatas have associated with them if I am right like 80,000 or 80 lakh Ganas associated or sub devatas associated with them so in total it is 64 crores or something like that Mahachatushashti koti yogini gana sevitaye namaha so she has 64 crore devatas ganas in total worshipping or behind her so that is composed of these 8 devatas 8 main devatas and each of them have so many Ganas associated with it. So this is the form of Devi. And there is yet another way of describing Devi. So Tripura Sundari. So Tripura Sundari. So Sundari, beautiful person who resides in Tripuram. So Tripuram also can mean that Tripuram in the three bodies or in the three towns which denote Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. So Devi is the self that is the witness behind Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. Tatturiyavastha, Devi is that Atman which is always in the Turiyavastha and which is the basis for Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. So that's one way of telling it. And that the other way of telling it is that Devi is composed of the Trinities, merging of the Trinities. So it is said, it is like we can find in some places. So I forgot the particular temple in Tamil Nadu, but there is a temple where for exactly forgot it, but it's Shiva coming for Shiva's marriage, Vishnu comes, I guess. Yeah, Shiva, for Shiva's marriage, Vishnu comes, or the opposite, I don't remember. Yeah, Shiva's marriage, when Shiva and Parvati get married, Vishnu is the brother of Parvati who comes and gives the hand of his sister. So there is a temple which denotes that. So as per this particular theory, it is said that the Trigunas, we have three gunas. So each of the gunas have one Deva and Devi associated with it. Both are brothers and sisters. So for the Sattva Guna, Parvati and Vishnu. And then the Rajoguna is Lakshmi and Brahma. And for the Tamoguna, Saraswati and Shiva. So that's how it is said. And so each of these brothers and sisters married. So that may be the reason why gunas, we cannot find gunas like without any other gunas. Even in the 14th chapter, Triguna Vibhag, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, Krishna says that none of the gunas can remain without the other two. One may be predominant, yet the other two are always there. Maybe that's the reason why. So each of them married, so one another. So like the gunas got split up into, so we have the trinities now, like we have Brahma and Saraswati, Vishnu and Lakshmi, and Shiva and Parvati. So each of these trinities, along with like the Devi and Devata, all three merge together. When they merge together, then they become Tripura Sundari. So Devi is composed of the trinities, or Tripuram, three lokas of each of this. So Devi is the that power, that ultimate power behind the Trigunas. Behind the Trigunas which creates the all these Devatas. So that is another way of explaining it. So whatever be it, though Devi's form, we need to know Devi's particular form, Devi's Rupam we need to know, and then the Yantram where Devi resides, sits, Sri Chakram. So Sri Chakram is supposed to be at the Sahasraram or the head wherein Devi resides, and the mantram or the Panchadashakshari mantram or one's own mantram, and the tantram or the particular way, or if it is one's own mantram, then it is the way, the vidhi that one's own guru gives a person. So what the mantra that a person gets from his or her guru, that mantra needs to be chanted in the particular way. So that vidhi, along with chanting of Lalita Sahasranama etc., we should be at least for a minimum of 2 hours. So all these together make a person Devi Upasaka. But while doing all these, the Upasana, person should remember that Devi or Tripura Sundari or Parashakti stands for Nirguna Parabrahman. So while we learn the Lalita Sahasranama, we will learn that. So if possible, you need to get a commentary of Saubhagya Bhaskaram. You will get it with English Hindi translation. I'm not sure about English translation or Tamil translation, but you should get it, or you need to get compulsorily a book of from Sri Ramakrishna Mission of Lalita Sahasranama by Urayashir Anna, Chennai Mutt. You will get it. So you need to have it if you need to learn Lalita Sahasranama. So that's in general about Lalita Sahasranama and the particular commentary Devi behind Lalita Sahasranama. And while learning Lalita Sahasranama, you need to also be aware or know Saundarya Lahari as well. It's another work of Shankaracharya which also is similar. So if you read Vyashir Anna's book commentary on in Tamil on either on like Saundari Lahari or Lalita Sahasranama, you can find cross references always. So the first 20 shlokas of Lalita Saundari Lahari you can find in the site, but you need to learn that as well, because for a Devi Bhakta he needs to know Saundari Lahari as well as Lalita Sahasranama also. So keeping the main thing in mind that like Devi or Lalita Sahasranama, the god that Lalita Sahasranama propounds can be the Shakta Devi or is the Shakta Devi in Saguna Rupam, but the essence of Saguna Devi of Tripura Sundari is Nirguna Parabrahman as propounded in the Lalita Sahasranama. So remembering that, a person should start doing Devi Upasana, and once he does Devi Upasana, then when he learns Lalita Sahasranama, the meaning of the various namas, then the upasana will become more fruitful. Then he will be able to understand the namas in a proper way. He will be able to relate it to Vedantam, and then Siddhanta Jnanam will become aparoksham. It will become one's own experience. We'll start with the nama in the next day. Hari Om.